Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. I'm Bob Duma, your host for the Buzz on Technical Rescue. During today's show, we'll be talking about Mutual Aid Box Alarm System, also known as MABUS in Illinois. My guest today is Chief Jay Reardon. Jay has an extensive background in the fire service starting in 1967. His career has involved local and federal government services, having served as fire chief in three different states. Jay also retired from the U.S. Air Force after 20 years of service in active and reserve duty as both a non-commissioned and a commissioned officer. Chief Reardon has received numerous awards in both his civilian and military careers, and he has been the past president of MABUS, having held that position from 1999 through 2010, and currently serves as chief executive officer for MABUS Illinois. Jay, thanks for joining me today.
Good morning, Bob.
We're going to start out, little Jay, kind of give us an introduction and just what is MABUS and how long has it been in existence?
Well, MABUS is acronym for Mutual Aid Box Alarm System, and it was conceived in about 1968 in the northwest suburbs of the city of Chicago, up around the Schaumburg, Hoffman Estates, Elk Grove Village area, where a lot of the cornfields were, due to urban sprawl, turning into faster-growing suburban communities with large shopping centers, mid-rises, single-family homes, and fire departments were transitioning from volunteer to paid. The risks were growing rapidly. Fire departments needed to help one another, and they developed the MABUS system, or a very basic mutual aid system based on running cards, patterned after the city of Chicago system.
Excellent. So it's really evolved over the needs of the community, which is addressing what most communities really are worried about. What do they do when they get larger to be able to function?
Correct. And the cash flow at that time from tax revenues couldn't keep up with the growth, so sharing of resources became the answer to be able to meet the needs of the new risks.
One of the things I've learned through looking into MABUS's background and that, have a very good working relationship or partnership with the Illinois Emergency Management Agency. How does this help MABUS succeed?
Well, in 1998, the governor of Illinois declared and created the Illinois Terrorism Task Force. It was mainly a group of state agencies whose job were to look at the threats of terrorism, mainly because of the Mura Federal Building that had happened the year before. They realized that although they had a lot of resources, they didn't own fire trucks, they didn't own firefighters, paramedics, ambulances, hazmat teams, and the like, but that there was a mutual aid system called MABUS, where at that time there were around 225 member agencies, seemed reasonable to ask them to come to the table. We did. The Illinois Terrorism Task Force, through Illinois Emergency Management Agency, asked if we'd be willing to sign a memorandum of agreement allowing us to become a mobile support team under the IEMA Act, or the Declaration of Disaster Act, therefore allowing us to respond as an asset of the state of Illinois. We, MABUS, are an intergovernmental cooperative agency under state statute. It allowed us to sign that memorandum of agreement, and as a result of that, several things occurred. The first is, under declarations of disaster, we could become an agent of the state and respond literally anywhere in the state of Illinois for a declaration, or respond out of state on EMAC, or Emergency Management Assistance Compact request for declarations of disaster, under the direction of the state of Illinois. The third, we became the identifiable one-stop shop for IEMA and the state of Illinois to deal with for any matters of fire protection, EMS, hazardous materials, technical rescue, underwater dive and rescue, on and on and on. So the relationship as a result of signing that agreement has grown into truly a partnership between state government with IEMA and local fire service agencies through MABUS.
And I think it's been an excellent example of when different layers of government get together, work with one another collectively, there can be a high level of success. Instead of building multiple silos, it appears as if the state has created just one giant silo, the entire state itself, which gives you quite a bit of capabilities that other communities probably look upon and envy. With this, you referred to the terrorist attack in Oklahoma City, and since September 11th attacks, we see growth in technical rescue fields and emergency response fields throughout the nation. I noticed at that point, it seems MABUS really started moving forward even larger growth patterns, both in the state it expanded, but it appears now you're even working outside of the state of Illinois with partners. How's that affected your operation?
Well, September 11th was a game changer for everybody, as you know, Bob. And in Illinois, September 11th happened, and soon thereafter there was the white powder phenomena the country and the fire service began finding a new line of business in response. That powder also drove the need for additional funding. Grants were provided to the state of Illinois for the hazmat teams in MABUS, and we were able to buy the equipment and materials needed that were deficient in responding to the white powder threat. That was the beginning of the significant grants. I hate to say it, but the grants caught the attention of all of the non-MABUS fire departments in the state of Illinois. And in Illinois, we have 1,200 fire departments. Currently, about 1,100 of those fire departments belong to MABUS. We have a presence in 100 of the state's 102 counties. And there are about 40,000 firefighters in the state of Illinois. And approximately a little over 35,000 of them are associated with MABUS fire agencies. Because of the grants and then soon thereafter the understanding the need for mutual aid, we grew from 225 member agencies in literally less than 10 years to over the 1,100 member agencies. We found that there was an air of cooperation, an air of partnership between the departments, regardless of them being career, volunteer, part paid, or any type of organizational structure that existed. We've since had an opportunity to really excel with responses to Hurricane Katrina, Gustav, Ike, and other disasters throughout the state of Illinois and outside. And all of it is a result of the partnership. And I guess if anything good came out of September 11th, there's one area we can indicate. We've pulled together in our state through MABUS, which has now expanded to Indiana, to Michigan, to Missouri, to Wisconsin, and other states of interest, sharing the commonality that we all have to work together.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent template for success that's been put together here in Illinois. And with that growth going out into the other states, it's obvious people are looking, people are seeing something that they see as a great value, and they're stepping up to the plate to become part of that type of system. With MABUS in place, many states that don't have the luxury of this type of a formal organized working group per se have to wait for things such as a declaration of disaster to be able to mobilize their troops and get things moving forward. One of the things I see with MABUS is you have an infrastructure that can help prior to getting to that degree. How actually does that work, and what advantages do you see as one of the lead people in MABUS from having that alternative?
Well, you know, the most important thing about MABUS is not the declaration of disaster. It's the ability to work well together on a daily basis. Through the MABUS system, the activation occurs about 800 times a year. That's about three times a day on average in the state, where local communities tap communities next to them by activating the MABUS system for, let's say, the house fire or the commercial structure fire or the hazmat spill or the school bus accident that exceeds that local community's resources on duty and capability. By being able to work together on a daily basis and respond, it sets a unbelievably strong and solid foundation for the growth into areas such as regional responses, where there is may or may not be called a declaration at the time, but larger scale events. The fortunate part of it is we have a system that's used every day, which allows it to become well practiced. It becomes relied upon, and it functions almost flawlessly from time to time.
With that said, you referenced earlier you have in excess of 35,000 firefighters in the state as members of this type of function. Is training part of the MABUS organization within the departments, not just for the responses, but does it help assist getting training out to the state and making it unified across the board?
Well, in Illinois, I believe it's accepted that nobody should get on a fire truck or a fire apparatus unless they're at least a firefighter too. The state does not require it by law. However, many fire departments, volunteers included, use that as a minimal standard. Number two, we're fortunate in our state to have an organization through the University of Illinois called the Illinois Fire Service Institute. That kind of sets the pace for training and designs the standard objectives so that a firefighter that has received a class universally is pretty well the norm for any firefighter that holds that same level of certification. MABUS endorses it, and in fact, for declaration of disaster responses, by policy, we won't allow anybody to go on a response to a declaration unless they have a firefighter 2 or fire officer 1 minimum training certification.
So it's a very good pattern to set. You're establishing a bar where people have to make a minimum level of preparation to go on these calls, and at the same time, utilizing a professional educational system within the fire service just helps to add to it. And also, at the same time, you're evolving the credentialing component, which is, I know in many communities, yet to evolve. By having some type of a standardized credential required of individuals, you're doing a real service to both yourself and the people you're serving by putting the proper tool out in the field to deal with the situation at hand. When we talk about a whole state operation, and actually an operation that extends into buffering states with the Illinois MABUS, how do you communicate with one another? I know where I come from in New York, sometimes you can't talk to your next-door neighbor on a radio. How do you folks deal with that issue?
Well, if a community wants to join, excuse me, MABUS, there's a one-page sheet of rules that they have to comply with. One of those rules are you have to have certain radio frequencies. In Illinois, we have a frequency called IFERN, the Interagency Fire Emergency Radio Network. It's a VHF frequency, simplex in nature, no repeaters, but it is the primary dispatch frequency for all mutual aid between fire agencies in the state of Illinois. So number one, if you join MABUS, you have to put that frequency in your radio so you can talk. Number two, we have 6 fire ground frequencies licensed to MABUS for use by any MABUS agency. Your radios also have to have those, at least 3 of the 6 fire ground frequencies on it, so that here again, you have the interoperable capability between teams. That applies across the board, even with our specialized teams. We have 42 hazmat teams that are our minimal requirement for statewide response. In the state of Illinois, we have 41 tech rescue teams, our urban search and rescue light, as well as a state-sponsored USAR team. We have around 26 underwater rescue and recovery teams that are currently going through processes of compliance to establish the standards for their response. All of these teams also have to be validated once every 3 years, where they respond to the Illinois Fire Service Institute for a 72-hour, 24 hours on the clock exercise with a team of 10 given tasks, and they have to demonstrate their ability to meet the minimal job performance requirements of a tech rescue team under NFPA certifications, or a hazmat team, or a dive rescue team.
And, you know, being a show that we focus a lot on the technical rescue aspect of the fire service, it's very comforting to see this type of an organizational commitment, throwing the standardization across the board, too. Much of what we deal with in the technical rescue community are extremely low frequency, but at the same time, extremely high hazard. So the preparation and the fact of having that 3-year validation process in place, I think, is a very good process that others should look at and maybe wrap their arms around and kind of build from. By bringing your people in for initial training, you've taken care of part of the process, but shortly thereafter that, you start to deal with others that have been around for a while but really haven't polished the apple per se. With your state USAR team, is this made up of people from the entire state, or is there like a regional component to that as well?
We have, as I mentioned before, Bob, 41 tech rescue teams. Each one of those teams maintain a minimal roster of 30 individuals that meet the minimal requirements to be a state-certified tech rescue technician. The main recruitment source comes from the tech rescue teams, goes to USAR, the Urban State or Urban Search and Rescue Team. There's 240 positions on USAR, or three platoons of 80 that fill the various specialty billets. So from the technical rescue standpoint side, they come from those 41 tech rescue teams. The hazmat component, the same thing. They come from the 42 hazmat teams. The medical component comes from a group called IMERT, Illinois Medical Emergency Response Team. It is a group of medical practitioners from emergency rooms, nurses, doctors, and others that are specialized to fill the billets for that component. We have structural engineers. All of those come from various fire services or EMS services within the state of Illinois. And all agencies, all communities, and all branches, paid, career, volunteer, have equal opportunity to apply for the team and are members of the team from throughout the state of Illinois, including the city of Chicago. They're part of the team also.
Okay. And with this, the 41 technical rescue groups that are out there, we talked a little bit earlier, said grant monies obviously were a key element in some of the success. So these vehicles and equipment and trained individuals are now dispersed around the various communities within the state. Probably many of these communities, if it wasn't for MABUS, wouldn't have this level of protection available to them because of the sheer expense of putting together that aspect of the fire service in a tight budget time. So I can see where even before the big events take place, just the local community on its day-to-day basis is already showing the benefits of MABUS being part of their life. You talked earlier, too, about an average of 800 MABUS events, extra alarms in a year. Kind of give us a little bit of a background on if I'm in a smaller community and I do have an incident going on, it's going to tax my local resources. What actually is an extra alarm and what would be coming to me as a command officer is an asset?
Well, first, when a community joins MABUS, another one of the rules on that one-page sheet of requirements is that the chief in charge has to determine what his risks or her risks are within the community and then write running cards tailored to the various risks for structure fires or for EMS calls or for hazardous materials or even a declaration of disaster, let's say a tornado, a weather event. So the chief has to develop run cards, which identify five levels of alarm with equipment in each category, engines, trucks, squads, ambulances, tenders, chief officers, specialized equipment, specialized teams. And it's done through typically using the members of their MABUS division. In Illinois, we have 67 operating divisions, and all of the fire departments fall within one of those operating divisions. The divisions pretty much are geographically co-located to one another, and it becomes the basis for writing those running cards or box alarm cards. When that chief has an incident, let's say in a small apartment building in their town, where they feel that they need extra help quickly, rapidly, they would call their divisional dispatch center. MABUS requires each division to identify one 911 dispatch center to be their focal point for any extra alarms that are being requested by that MABUS division. So that fire department calls them and says, I'd like to request box alarm for box number, whatever it may be, to the first level for a structure fire. Staging for due companies will be at the intersection of Avenue A and First Street. The divisional dispatch center goes on the IFERN frequency, initiates a tone, just like many fire departments use tones to tone themselves out. And the tones go off and they announce that local fire department is requesting a box alarm for a fire in an apartment building located at the intersection of First and Avenue A. companies do to respond, and they read what communities, fire districts, fire companies, or cities are due to send engine companies, truck companies, squad companies, ambulance companies, chief officers, and that they're to report to the location of First Street and Avenue A as a staging area and switch over and acknowledge on the IFERN radio frequency. The same occurs if they go from a box alarm to the second alarm to the third alarm to the fourth alarm, fifth alarm, and then special alarms thereafter if so needed. The other thing that you receive is a change of quarters company to cover your firehouses, and that's built into the running card response for the extra alarm incidents. So typically, that's how the template is, how the system works, whether it be for a structure fire, EMS, hazmat, tech rescue, water dive rescue. You just change the type of resources you're requesting for the risk. So when the event occurs, you're getting the closest available and capable MABUS resource to support your effort.
So it's as a command officer, when they ask for this assistance, they really don't have to do much more than wait for arrival, because all the homework's been done ahead of time. The run cards are in place. The acknowledgments and the mechanisms for getting people there is in place. You may have two or three extra alarm events in a similar neighborhood within your community. But the way I understand it, you could be getting each event maybe a different combination of departments depending on availability, but you know you're going to get the sum total of what you need and what you've asked for. So it's a very in-depth system that has many layers of coverage, which I think brings a real benefit to all the participating members. A lot of times we talk with other folks around the country and the different issues they deal with when it comes to backfilling and things of that nature. How is a employee in a career side, or even on the volunteer side for liability in that, how does the system or what has been established to help cover that, you know, part of the concerns?
Well, on a day-to-day basis in Illinois, municipalities are covered with a degree of tort immunity and protection as a governmental employee, unless obviously negligence is part of the equation, willful and wanton, or whatever way that the legal community might argue it. That tort immunity is extended to fire service personnel also. When we go to a declaration, when we go to the box alarm level with MABUS, the agreement that all agencies sign to become part of MABUS, the local community, their elected officials, or district trustees, it provides immunity to all the other participants, so that one won't take legal action upon the other during the service of assisting with one another of a mutual aid call for a larger scales incident. When we go to the declaration of disaster and we're activated by the state of Illinois, we become agents of the state. We become agents of the state of Illinois. And as agents of the state of Illinois, we receive all of the immunities and benefits that might be afforded to somebody who is employed by the state of Illinois. So from the standpoint of immunity and insurance, everything is set up and structured so that people feel comfortable doing their jobs, that they're not going to be a subject of a suit if they take reasonable and prudent actions within the scope of their training and certifications.
I think looking at that, it also builds in the availability of people, where a community leader, a chief officer, or the local elected officials are going to be part of signing into an agreement for the MABUS system. Seeing these components in place, obviously, indirectly, is a big selling feature, so they know that when things take place. I know one of the big events that the MABUS folks from Illinois have been part of is when Katrina took place. There was a major activation of your forces to go down there. Kind of give us a little history on just what was asked of Illinois MABUS and what you folks did when that request for service came to you.
Well, the request to assist initially came through the EMAC system, the Emergency Management Assistance Compact, or state-to-state mutual aid. And it came from the state of Louisiana. through the Emergency Operations Center there in Baton Rouge to Springfield, Illinois, where our Emergency Operations Center is. And they tasked Mavis with, can you fill the request for mutual aid to go to the city of New Orleans? When we looked at the request, we had to do a little translating, but it appeared what they wanted us to do is to become the New Orleans Fire Department. It was for somewhere around, if my memory serves me right, it's been 5 years ago, 38 engine companies, 12 ladder trucks, 20-some battalions. The initial request was for 596 firefighters and that list of fire equipment I just so noted. In Illinois, we'll never take more than 20% resource from any local community for mutual aid purposes. That's so 80% of it always stays in place to handle daily calls. For us to fill the billet of 596 firefighters for a two-week deployment with all that apparatus, to be quite honest, we're very fortunate. That's not a drop in the bucket for us, okay? That is less than, 2%, more like a point and a half of our total resources in the state of Illinois. We received the EMAC request. We completed what's called the Requisition A. It was forwarded back to the state of Illinois. They sent it to Louisiana. Louisiana and New Orleans said, if you could, we'll accept your offer. Can you send us the 38 engines, the 12 ladder trucks, et cetera, and 596 firefighters? We did. We mobilized and moved into Baton Rouge for the first night after we mobilized out the next morning. And it wound up becoming a six-week deployment with a total of 900 firefighters that we had three rotations, one at the end of the first 2 weeks, one at the end of the second 2 weeks, and then the final completion in the last 2 weeks. But it involved 900-plus firefighters, around 250 different pieces of fire equipment. And that happened 5 years ago. 2 years ago, we went to Louisiana for Gustav and Ike, and it was a 250-person mobilization for pumpers and tenders pumpers and tenders and about 250 firefighters.
So it's a large community picking up and moving along to, your logistics component, your planning people. To put that many individuals on the road is quite an endeavor, and one probably to be very proud of is one of the lead folks in the Illinois Mavis, showing that we have a program. It's not just a paper cowboy, but when you need us, we can be there for you. I mean, it had to be quite a sight going down the highway watching that type of a contingency of emergency service vehicles travel from basically the northern portion of our country down to the southern tip to provide a extremely needed service at that time when they had pretty much been wiped out. So it's a service that reaches much further than just the luxury the locals in the state have, but it's there for everybody, and it was proven a worthy investment.
What I found interesting, the learning curve for us was tremendous from the standpoint of sustaining that operation. You can send a fire truck and four firefighters, but if you can't feed them, house them, refuel the truck, change the tires on the truck, allow them to have the needs so that they can function in a manner as simple as an ability to do their laundry. We learned and continue to learn and have taken every lesson learned and built in a resolve so that when we mobilize, we can provide that sustainment piece without hesitation, because without it, you're dead in the water. So it's been a tremendous learning curve for us also.
And I think one of the greatest learning curves in the fire service is by actually doing stuff.
Correct.
We can train. We do a great job of training our people, practicing, having drills, but there's a significant disconnect between a controlled environment exercise at a training facility and actually being put into the streets to do your job. With this type of a show on the road per se, you hit on one point, keeping the trucks going, and that, is there a agreement also that handles like a maintenance component? Do you have like a mechanic element of it that would keep the vehicles up and running? Because obviously if their infrastructure is wiped out and they're asking you for help, it's not like they're going to have a shop waiting for you when you arrive. Did you have to bring support staff as well?
Yeah, we did. It was pretty crude during the Katrina mobilization. We didn't have, that's the first time we had anywhere attempted a mobilization that large for that period of time. What we learned from it is the need to support the fleet. As a result, we have a fleet maintenance vehicle that was developed by one of our more competent firefighter mechanics, John Rickey from Gurnee Fire Department. It is a can that is a shop on wheels that can be dropped off the back of a roll-off truck to support, repair, maintain vehicles in the field. The roll-off truck itself has a boom winch to allow us to lift vehicles off the ground, move debris out of the roadway, or winch a welder to the roof of a five-story building. It tows a fuel pump with 300 and some gallons of diesel fuel and I think another 200 of gasoline for refueling the vehicles. When you're going to drive, you know, a pumper or a ladder truck 1,000 miles, you have to keep refueling it. Obviously, commercial fuel is one way to do it, but we bring fuel with us. The staffing has developed a new element and a resource within the MABUS system. We now have a mechanics and fleet repair committee that's made up of people who are certified mechanics, mechanics for fire vehicles, who are on deployment and mobilization notice. So they deploy. Some of these mechanics are also firefighters, and some of them are just mechanics, but they maintain fire equipment for a career and a living. They're on our mobilization list. So when we send 20 pumpers somewhere, the mechanic component goes with it as part of the force. The mechanic and fleet repair vehicle and fuel pump goes with it so that you have the mechanics right with you. You have the field shop to repair stuff. We've also built a relationship with companies like UPS. They're throughout the country using them as our depot as well as our backstop for equipments and parts and getting stuff that we need when they don't have it on hand to repair a vehicle. So we've built in a number of contingencies, but the mechanics are just another very important part of our team. You know, the firefighters and the fire officers aren't worth a whole lot if the fire truck's not working. The mechanics keep the fire truck working, and they're part of the team.
It's a very good point. The public, through the eye of the media, traditionally sees the frontline individual, the one sole rescue that takes place at a large event or the extinguishment of a large conflagration, but what they don't get to see is what it takes to get that firefighter to the front of the line to do the work. And like your mechanics are those unsung heroes, which is a small component of the big picture, but without it, next to a military operation, this is probably in the fire service one of the most evolved and advanced working groups, about the only other place I can think of around the country that has such an infrastructure as maybe the West Coast with the forest fire operations that cover such large geographic footprints and happen, unfortunately, on way too frequent of a basis, so they do get plenty of chance to practice once again. But you're basically going on a military deployment, per se. Within MABUS, too, to support these operations, both when you do leave for the big event or even the larger scale events within the state itself, is there some type of a incident support team or operational management group that helps come with the planning and the logistics and that to take that burden off the local community who may not really be prepared to handle that magnitude?
Certainly there is. Incident management teams within the fire service that are both cross-discipline and singular discipline. We have used them routinely, and we're not going to move. One lesson we have learned that goes along with the mechanics. If you're moving operational people with equipment like fire trucks, they're only going to be as good as the backstop you've established for sustainment of the operation. Mechanics are one example, okay, to take care of the fleet. Incident management teams are another part of it. From the planning, organizational management, and documentation purposes, which are all critical in a declaration of disaster. So if we're going to move 10 fire trucks or 100 fire trucks, there is going to be a component of an incident management team, people certified with certain skills and well-trained in NIMS. We've had a number of our people shadow some of the larger incident management teams at like the large brush fires, wildland fires out west, to see how the big boys do it when it comes to mobilizing huge forces. And they've come back and assisted us in understanding what does it take to sustain a 500 person force, you know, for 2 weeks, and how do you organize it, how do you develop it. So incident management team goes with the package, as well as potentially a host of other, you know, backdoor type things. A decontamination vehicle, so you have field showers. We have semi-truck mounted mobile tent cities that are self-sustained. Generator light towers. So there's a whole host of equipment and more that, based on the nature of the incident, the nature of the resources that we're sending, the amount and size, the type of an incident was, that we'd send a whole lot of additional support and backup equipment to sustain the force. But incident management teams is another resource we have within our system.
Excellent. With this, if a community wasn't part of a current MABUS agreement, other than that one-page document we've referenced a few times, if my community wasn't a member, but I've seen the value through watching my neighboring communities be part of it, what would I have to do? Just kind of a brief overview of what it takes to join the team, per se.
It is not complex. MABUS has attorneys that have drafted the standard contract language and has drafted the standard ordinance or board resolution for various forms of government. There's several versions of it based on the structure and form of government. In Illinois, you have municipal agencies, which include single-purpose, statutorily created fire districts or municipal fire departments that fall under villages and cities and towns. The attorneys have done all the work. We've paid the bills. We give you copies of those. And the neat thing is this, Bob. When your attorney looks at it and says, it's okay, but I want to change this word and that word, we tell them you can't change a word in it because there's 1,100 other fire communities, policy boards, and city councils have signed that exact agreement. If you want to change one word in it, you go out and convince the 1,100 different communities that have signed it, and God bless them, but it tends to quiet the attorney about changing it. So, you know, the opportunity is there. 1,100 other communities have adopted the identical board resolution contract. Sign the contract. Here it is. You know, it doesn't cost you a penny. Your board, you bring it to them. We'll send support staff out to answer questions if needed. They take a vote. If they approve joining MABUS, they sign the contract, they sign the ordinance, and then we assist them in standing up the system within their MABUS division, if it's a new division, and if not, we assign them to a division that's been up and running on their own for a while to provide kind of that startup guardian angel support to get them going.
So a good support, a mentoring system in place to learn from those who've been around the block a few times instead of, okay, now I signed up, but what do I do?
So we do have a modest dues schedule for fire departments, if I recall, whose operational budget is $25,000 a year or less. Their dues are $25 a year. And for the larger fire departments, like a Naperville, a Rockford, an Aurora, a city of Chicago, whose budgets are in excess of $35 million a year, they pay $1,500 a year. And it's a graduated scale in between.
So I think it's easily obtainable, let's say, in the big picture.
I think it's the deal of the year.
Yes. Having had the pleasure of seeing some of the various MABUS apparatus put together for a display, the community as a whole should be very comfortable in knowing that they have some of, if not the best, resources available to them. Looking at it from the outside in, many of the pieces to be envious of, you know, you'd like to have certain things in your community, and then when you see them all assembled in one location, it really gives you a good feeling that there are some good systems out there doing a lot for the fire service at our particular community, or in this case, the entire state. With that, any other final thoughts on MABUS as a whole, or just some of your own views of your many years of involvement with the organization?
Well, I'm blessed to be allowed to lead this wonderful group and organization. You know, over the Fire Rescue International here, we did a validation of our statewide plan through the International Chiefs for the Department of Homeland Security. And we mobilized 33 task forces, 200, and I believe it was 97 pieces of equipment, 924 firefighters in an hour and a half to three different locations. We're pretty proud that we have a system in place, and we have people in fire departments with the air of cooperation and commitment to be able to say, if the need arises and the crisis occurs, we can deliver. But I think we proved that the right right things are in place for support of our own within the state of Illinois, as well as support of others outside of the state when it's their nightmare, their unfortunate crisis to deal with. I'm very proud to be part of that system. I thank my colleagues, whether they're volunteer, paid, or career firefighters, because without their commitment and without their ability and without their support to allow us to do what we could do, we'd never be where we're at. Truly, we are partners with the state also, Illinois Emergency Management Agency and our state fire marshal's office, Larry Mankitis, Mike Chamness, Don Klinger, and I could go on and on, truly partners. We do have our act together in the state of Illinois, regardless of what people might think with the elected officials who might have gone astray. Operationally, we're striving to do our job as best as we can every day.
Well, and I think this is a perfect example of doing the best you can every day. Chief Reardon, I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope our listeners enjoyed today's session. And if anything, it educated you about a process you may not have been aware of. If you do want to learn a little bit more about MABAS, you can go to their website at www.mabas.org. Very in-depth site, gives you a good background on just what's out there, and hopefully this might generate some questions coming from others around the country towards you, Jay, for information of how maybe they could grab the ball and try to move forward into a level of success you folks have done.
I think we've learned through September 11th and others, we're in this together. We are truly brothers and sisters, and I think our organization would do everything in the world they could to assist anybody in making it better for all of us. So, Bob, I thank you for the opportunity.
Well, appreciate it. It was great talking with you. An excellent opportunity to look at your equipment and see just what the apparatus and the response capabilities of MABAS is. Just want to thank our listeners for listening today. It's your host, Bob Dumel, for The Buzz on Technical Rescue. Thank you for listening, and be safe.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.